Good morning and welcome to worship, St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church, a small gathering here in the sanctuary, but we also welcome those of you joining us online, knowing that there are many who are connecting with us in that way. This is the fourth Sunday of Advent, and certainly this week we anticipate the coming Christmas celebrations, both Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. We are also very aware of some of the limitations that the coronavirus has imposed upon us, but we seek to be a people of God, people who celebrate life with Jesus Christ, and welcome you to share in that together as a faith community. Our worship series, When God Moved Into the Neighborhood, will be addressed later by Pastor Nick. And again, we invite you to read the Gospel of John, particularly chapter 1, which you will notice immediately is a little bit of a different Christmas story than some of the other two Gospels, particularly Matthew and Luke. With the challenges of living with COVID-19, it seems every aspect of our lives has been affected. As the Niagara region anticipates changing into the red restrictions this week, the reality is all of us are feeling COVID fatigue. We are more than tired of wearing masks, of constantly washing hands, of having to keep distance from each other, of having to limit our family gatherings, limiting our worship in some sense, of particularly with singing. The list goes on and on as to how our lives have been impacted these last months. And yet, in the coming days, in the coming weeks, if we don't limit the virus by limiting our contacts, more people will become seriously ill and more people will die. That is the simple fact of it. And I certainly know a good number of people who have been ill. I have even known some people who have died because of the virus. And so please, we encourage one another to take that seriously. And so as we all hunker down to stop the spread, all the more important for us to stay mentally, physically, and spiritually healthy. If safe, go for a walk. Watch the ice. Go outdoors. Enjoy the fresh air. Call family. Call friends you haven't seen or spoken to in some time. Read. Listen to music. I would say limit how much television you watch, and particularly how much news broadcasts you watch. It simply becomes depressing and adds to a sense of despair. Express care for one another with kindness and generosity. Be the presence of Jesus for one another. And so as we look forward to this week, on Christmas Eve, there will be an in-person service pending, or there will be. The plan is we'll still be able to gather younger generations on Christmas Eve for a service, 6:30 in the evening, and then Christmas Day at 10 o'clock, seniors service. And as all our services are, they are also available online and invite you to share in those as well. Then, after Christmas Day, forward to at least January 17, we do not anticipate in-person worship services. And so for the next three Sundays, there will not be in-person services. We will be sharing services online, and for those of you who receive the services by snail mail, you will continue to get those as well. And so we anticipate that. All in an effort to stop the spread of the virus, and so share your support and care for one another. As with all other nonprofits, St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church depends on your financial support, and together with Treasurer Alvin Entz, want to express a big thank you for your support over this past year. And as we look to the year end, just a note that if you have donations for year end, if they're not shared this morning, there is a secure mailbox at the door, and those can be dropped off. And I believe Alvin indicated that the 28th of December is the cutoff date for year-end. Just a few other notes. If interested in baptism, church membership, please contact Pastor Nick. And after Christmas Eve service, Pastor Nick will be on vacation, and we want to wish you a restful time with family during that week. As we continue in worship, I share these words from the Psalm 85. I will listen to what God, the Lord, will say. He promises peace to his people, his saints. But let them not return to folly. Surely his salvation is near those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs forth from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. The Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land will yield its harvest. Righteousness goes before him and prepares the way for his steps. I invite you to bow with me in prayer. Gracious God, we want to acknowledge our sense of loneliness and at times frustration because of the limitations we experience these days. We also want to experience the light of opportunity to share in the lives of others in different ways. And so we enter into this time of worship to reflect, to hold our prayers before you, to hear a word from the Lord, and to experience community as a people of faith. Guide our thoughts and reflections as we worship in Jesus' name. Amen. The song, O Come, All Ye Faithful, the text on the screen, Trudy will play, but we ask that we not sing. Feel free to hum and reflect on the text.
Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. We read, a voice of one calls out in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God.
Emmanuel, God with us, interrupt and fill our spirits with the courage to admit when we are lost and the insight to recognize what that we have been found. May your light shine.
To a people walking in darkness, a great light has dawned.
That was true 2,000 years ago, and it is true today. Into our sin-darkened hearts, God has sent the light of the world. Lord Jesus, come shed your light on us today, right here, right now.
If you have been reading along in the Gospel of John, you know that the first words there, "In the beginning was the Word." And that should sound familiar from the first words in the book of Genesis. In the Hebrew language, "dabar" means both word and deed. That is, spoken word cannot be undone, and by speaking, we give words a reality. Hence, in our Bible reading, it says the Word became flesh, God's Word to us in Jesus Christ. I invite you to bow with me in prayer. God, in the beginning you spoke, and the world came into being. With all the Christmas trimmings, with all the COVID limitations, today we long to hear your word of love, of hope, of Jesus. The days are not only dark with winter night, but we're also feeling the darkness of separation, of loneliness, of longing for life to be different. Guide us by your Holy Spirit to welcome Jesus into our lives once again. May Jesus be born to me again. Bring your light of salvation to save us from fear, to save us from isolation, to save us from despair. Help us to hear your word of faith, your coming in Jesus Christ. We lift before you our prayers for our community leaders. We lift before you our prayers for healthcare workers, for family, for friends, for those in the community who work to help us maintain life and vitality. In all these things, we ask that your healing and hope through Jesus Christ flow in us and through us, for your grace and work to be at within us, both in word and in deed. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'll be reading from John chapter 1, verses 14 to 18. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known."
Like most people, I had two sets of grandparents growing up. My father's father and his stepmother lived just a few minutes away from us. And so we'd often drive from the farm into town to see them, or they'd come the other way towards us. My other grandparents lived some ways away on a farm near Hamilton. And so it wasn't a short drive to see them. They weren't just down the road from us. So as children, we came to call them far away Grandpa and Grandma. Children do this sort of thing, you know. We have a friend, Meg and I, who called her grandmother Cookie Oma when she was a child because she was the grandparent who dealt in baked goods. One of you that not here today once told me that you're known to your grandchildren and great-grandchildren as Tower Oma because you live in an apartment a few floors up. I'll let you all try to guess who that might be. In any case, we had a faraway grandpa and grandma. And I share that this morning because I believe that's something many of us might feel at times when it comes to a life of faith. I believe that many of us have times in our lives when we feel like we have a faraway God. In reality, my maternal grandparents only lived an hour or so away from us. But their mobility was limited in those years, and my parents were always kept busy with the farm, which meant we didn't see them all that often. Besides being a restless and impatient child, 70 or so minutes in the car might as well have been an eternity. And 125 kilometers on the highway might as well have been the distance from one side of the world to another. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt like you have a faraway God? You know in your head that God exists. You genuinely love or want to love God with as much of your heart as you can. And yet, there are all of these times when God might seem distant, far off, and inaccessible. You believe God is real, but a lot of the time God seems aloof or absent from the day-to-day realities of your life. Like a memory or a thought, perhaps. Like there's all of this time and space between the two of you, and in order to see one another, be with one another, you need to somehow get past that or through all that. Have you ever felt like that? I believe that many of us have at one time or another. And I believe that part of the reason why we might feel that way or come to feel that way is that seems to be the picture of God that we encounter in Scripture. We open up those pages and see a God who in many ways looks to be separate and removed from everything. We see a God who's perfect and pure, all holy and all powerful, a God who created everything and is above everything and watches over everything. And so like children and their grandparents who live in another town, that might come to be how we think of it and how we describe it. We come to say that we have a far away God. In the Gospel of John, we're introduced to another side of God, the God who chose to come close in Jesus of Nazareth. Over the past couple of weeks, we've shared that the opening chapters of John's Gospel are a bit different from the others, to say the very least. Whereas Matthew and Luke present a straightforward narrative account of the nativity with all the cast and characters we're familiar with, John, we've been saying, writes with the language of a philosopher poet. I shared about how John uses all this metaphors and imagery to communicate the heart of this story, telling readers, for example, that Jesus is the light of the world that has come into the darkness and was the Word that existed before anything else existed. And in the verses that we've heard and are looking at today, John extends that second metaphor even further. John writes that when Jesus was born, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Those will likely be familiar words to many of us, but what they communicate is something incredibly significant. In his translation, Eugene Peterson writes, "The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhoods." God moved into the neighborhoods in Jesus. Think about that. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. It never came to be our experience that our faraway grandparents moved closer. I didn't think any less of them or love them any less for it. That was just how it was growing up. They lived where they lived and we lived where we lived. But I know that many of you, some of you have made a move like that. Some of you have moved so that you could be closer to your aging parents to help take care of them. Some of you have moved so that you could be closer to your children and grandchildren and help watch them. I know for a fact that at least one of you, again not here today, has done this in the past several months, literally moving in with your extended family to help with childcare and online learning these days. Some of you may have moved to a neighborhood or city because of the community there, because you knew a lot of friends who are living there. Whatever it is, think about the joy of that experience, or try to imagine it if that hasn't been your experience. Think about now being close to that person, those other people. Think of that sense of connection and comfort and assurance, knowing that there are people nearby and that they're there and can offer support if you need it. For some of you, I know it's at times been so close that you're right across the street from your relatives, right next door even. That's the sense that John is talking about here in these verses. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. When Mary conceived and gave birth, God came close. God moved into the neighborhoods. You may know that when John writes here, it's using this language that echoes the experience of the ancient Israelites in the Old Testament. This term that he uses when he uses the word dwell describes the image of the tabernacle that they had set up in the wilderness. You'll maybe remember the stories and the descriptions of it. They had built this kind of movable tent which could be taken from place to place and which was meant to house God's presence as it came to dwell among them and serve as a center of worship for them. So what John is saying here is that in coming to earth, Jesus did that. Jesus tabernacled among us, literally. By entering into our earthly reality, it was as if God had now set up this tent in our midst to go with us wherever we went. In Jesus, John tells us, God took on skin and bones, wore clothes, and became like one of us. When Jesus was born, God moved into the neighborhoods. This is the mystery and the wonder of the incarnation, that God was never content to remain far off from a fallen world, but was instead determined to draw near in Jesus. God didn't simply step back after making creation or walk away when people made a mess of it. God came close. I don't know about you, but I find that incredibly comforting, because I'm someone who's often felt like God is far away or like I'm far away from God. I can share about that because I know that that's a fairly common spiritual experience. Like many of you, there have been times in my life when I felt like God was distant or absent or silent. Times when it's felt like there's this great separation between us, maybe because of sin or shame. And so to be reminded each year at Advent that God chose to become one who was born among us is truly significant, I think. To come back to the story of God, of Jesus, who became human and lived among us as one who is called Emmanuel, God with us, gives me great hope. I don't know about you, but I find this to be particularly comforting this year. Because this year we've collectively experienced so much distance, so much isolation, and so much of being separated from the people that we love. Even when we're close, as those of us who are here today are, we're not close. For many of us, I think the apartness of this time has been hard, but not unbearable. For some of us, though, the loneliness has truly taken a profound toll and continues to do so. I think we've all by now heard the reports and firsthand testimonies of the impact of prolonged isolation, most especially on the health and well-being of the elderly. For many, then, this forced space between us has been painful. And so it means something to be reminded that we're not alone. It means something to have family and community who you can remain connected with in the midst of an experience of disconnection like this. It means something to have people who can reach out to you and call you and check in on you, and to have people you can do the same thing for. We've tried to do our best at that these past several months. But I think it also means something to know that God has not left us alone in this. It means something to know that even in our times of confinements, we have a companion in Christ. It means something to remember that in a small town called Bethlehem, some 2,000 and some odd years ago, a child named Jesus was born. And to remember that even though he grew up and died and rose and eventually left this place, he promised to never leave us, even until the very end of the age, and that most certainly includes this time now. In Jesus, God came close. God moved into the neighborhood. Jesus became God with us. In an essay published by Renovare, writer Brian Morkin puts it like this. Up until now in this story, we trembled before God the powerful and prayed to God the invisible. But in the incarnation, God the infinite becomes God the infant. God the hallowed becomes God the held. In Jesus, the Son of God, Son of Man, God becomes our brother and our friends. God came close. God is close. This means something, especially now. What we celebrate and reflect on at Christmas time is a paradox. You'll know that a paradox is this idea that contains two ideas that would seem to contradict each other but somehow don't. And so the account of the Nativity we know is marked by this underlying paradox. Because in the same way that I had a close by grandpa and grandma and a far away grandpa and grandma, at Christmas, we meet a God who is both close by and far away. Except that the analogy breaks down, of course, into a beautiful and utterly incomprehensible mystery when we begin to talk about how they're actually the same God in two persons, and then there's another even. To use the technical terms, God is both transcendent and immanent. God came to be like us in Jesus, and yet God remains entirely unlike us as well. God became as one of us, and yet God remains holy and wholly other. We have a close-by God, and we have a far-away God, and they're different, and yet one in the same. In the book of Acts, Paul delivers this sermon to the people of Athens, and he tells them how the gods who made the world and everything in it doesn't live in temples or tents built by human hands, but is present in every place and available to anyone who looks. And God did this, Paul tells them, so that people might seek him and perhaps reach out to him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. He is not far from any one of us. The God we meet in Jesus is not far from any one of us. And so for all the times we may have felt like God was far away in some other place, I believe that most of us can say that we've met God in that way as well. We've met that God as well, the close-by God, the God who's at hand, the God who's nearby, the God who moved in across the streets, moved next door to us in Jesus. I believe that if I asked you, many of you could share times when you've known that closeness of Christ, when the distance between you and him seemed to have all but disappeared. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. I loved my faraway grandparents. Looking back, I wish I could have come up with a better title for them as a kid, because clearly that wasn't their only attributes. In the same way that I'm sure Cookie Oma might some days have wanted to be known for more than just her cookies, or Tower Oma might want to be known for more than just having happened to live above the first floor. It was an easy identifier for when we had to distinguish between the two sets of relatives. But the reality was that my faraway grandparents were never only far away. We spent plenty of time visiting with them on their farm. They used to talk to us on the phone and send us cards on our birthdays. We had sleepovers and family reunions and big Christmas dinners. The sorts of things that so many of us will be missing so sorely these weeks. And so my prayer for you today, for us today, is that even though we might be missing those things so dearly, that we might feel at times hopelessly far off from one another in this season, we're not alone. Because we remain connected to one another, even while apart, as Christ's body, the church. Because God is not far from any of us. Because on that holy night so long ago, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Because God decided to move into the neighborhoods. Amen. Well, now, closing song, and I invite you to listen or hum along quietly as it's on the screen. As Pastor Randy mentioned at the start, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day services, anticipating those. As we shared in our bulletin, expecting more announcements tomorrow from the region and the province. So if things do need to change with those, we'll put the word out early in the week and ask that you help us spread those. But otherwise, looking forward to those times. As we prepare to leave, I ask that you remain seated until our ushers lead you out. And now I share these words of blessing, seeking God's blessing on our offering, but also on our weeks as we go. The words come from a hymn by a hymn writer named William McLagan. Be still, my soul, for God is near. The great high priest is with thee now. The Lord of life himself is here, before whose face the angels bow. To make thy heart his lowly throne, the Savior God in love draws nigh. He gives himself unto his own, for whom he once came down to die. As you go into your week, may you go knowing that God is close by. Go in peace. Amen.